I'd like to thank those of you who answered my plea yesterday for input about my new novel that I'm printing in serial form in the ZWTF. That is, what's the name of it? The Evil Empire. Thank you for your positive comments and your helpful comments. I need them. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Yesterday I talked to you about Joseph and that Joseph is a type of Christ. And if Joseph is a type of Christ, then he's also a type of us because we are the body of Christ. I told you yesterday, everything that applies to Christ applies to us. As crazy as that sounds, it's true. Let them call you psychos. Let them call you full of it. Let them call you arrogant. We didn't invent this. It's not of us. Nobody could invent something so fantastic as a handful of human beings plucked from the earth to be taken into outer space without a spacesuit or a rocket ship and to be taken beyond outer space because, as you know, outer space, what you see up there is just a welcome mat of the celestial world. Eye has not seen nor ear has heard what God has for us. So what you see is not what you get. I know people who have looked up at the stars and the black night of and they are, well, I don't, why would I want to go up there? That's not it. Okay? If there are sovereignties and authorities and world mights among the celestials, if there are angels, if there are all these ranks of beings, then they are obviously organized powers. They obviously God has given them rank. And so they have kingdoms. There are 24 elders spoken of in the book of Revelation. Ancient ones, that's the meaning of that word in the Greek, that title. The elders, they're spiritual beings. They're at the throne of God. There are four animals. That's another form of spiritual being. Ezekiel saw the cherubim. So, do you see any of that when you look up at the sky at night? No? All right, then. You can't get any judgment of this from what you see. Now, here's what will give you a judgment of this. If you want to know what you have to look forward to, it's Joseph. We are in phase two of the Joseph account. Phase one is the excitement you receive, the emotional happiness, the anticipation, the discovery of the truth when you first came onto this truth. Wasn't it a great thing? I've told you many times of when I received my giant box from the Concordant Publishing Concern in 1986. I think it was $210 back then. I wrote them and I said, give me one of everything. It's kind of like ordering a pizza. They say, put everything on it. I said, give me one of everything. I said, well, you give us $210. I said, fair enough. I gave them, sent them $210 and the giant box came. It was like Christmas morning. It was so exciting. And that's the early phase. It's just like a race, too. I mean, I've run marathons, and many of you have run races. It doesn't matter how long it is, really. But at the beginning of the race, you're all excited. Yes, oh yes. You feel fresh. You feel good. You've waited for this day. You've trained for it. Now here it is. You take off like a gazelle. Somewhere in the middle of the race, I'll talk about the marathon now. Wonder why did I enter this? Well, then you get to hit the wall in a marathon. It's 26 miles, 385 yards. You hit the wall around 21 mile mark. That's where the body runs out of glycogen. And the muscles start to cramp up and the body just says, no mas. But no, you say, no, we're going 6 more miles. That's the crisis point. So phase two is the crisis point. And in our walks, that is when we tried to share the truth with our friends and loved ones. Joseph experienced this, and Jesus Christ experienced it. And they mocked him for all the great things. They that these men of God were seeing. Joseph, 17 years old, still a man of God. Great things that he saw. God gave him dreams of glory where his brothers and his father would be bowing down to him. How about that? Worshiping him, bowing down to him. And they ended up doing it. This is the sequel. I'm going to get to that today. But before the sequel, you have this in the marathons hitting the wall. For Joseph, it was being mocked by his brothers and sold into slavery. For Jesus Christ, it was being turned in by his own disciple and beginning his agony. That all corresponds to this middle part. And we're in that now. We're slogging through. Some of you maybe, if you're just listening to this, you might still be in phase one. That's okay. Listen, if you're listening to me now, and if you're just seeing this stuff and you're excited, don't let me intimidate you with any of this talk. Because listen, you are blessed. Why? You're in the fast lane. I see it. It's happening all the time. You're in the fast lane. There's not that much time left, so God's not going to spend years developing you. If he has years, he might spend years developing you, but there are not many years left. 10 years, I believe, this is my conviction based on certain facts in the scriptures, that there's the kingdom's coming in 10 years from now. And this is 2018 as I speak, July. In fact, it's the 4th of July, isn't it? Yeah. So, he doesn't have 60 years to train you. So you're going to get it quick. You're going to learn something in 5 minutes that it took me 5 years to get. That's great. I'm happy about it. But you're still going to go through your midlife crisis in faith. You're going to have your times. It doesn't mean you have to have, there's no time thing here. I'm giving you the time frame of Joseph, that his middle ages, his midlife crisis, him hitting the wall lasted 27 years. Jesus Christ, 3.5 years. Okay? Many of you, longer than that. But it's not the quantity of the time, it's the quality of the time. It's the quality of the pressure, the quality of the stress, the quality of the trial. And they are quality trials God's giving you. It's all related to your walk. Don't think that, you know, it's unrelated. That if you bang your head on the cupboard door, don't think that's unrelated to your walk. No, it's not. Satan's trying to discourage you, trying to make you feel like an idiot, trying to make you feel like, why did God ever call me? Doubt your calling, doubt everything about yourself. You think you're stupid. You think that you can't do anything right. Yeah, all right, that's fine. You have to walk by faith, not perception here. Okay, so if you're new to this, don't worry. You don't have to orchestrate your own trials. God will bring it to you. But you might be in a compacted thing. Whereas some people might have that beginning, go through 30 years of roughness, and then your 30 years of trial of hitting the wall might be 3 weeks. Great. But your 3 weeks might be harder than my 3 years. It might be. You may have a hell of a bad 3 weeks. It's quantity, not quality. Okay. So the sequel. The sequel is gorgeous. The sequel is beautiful. The dream comes true. And I told you, you look up at the sky now, you don't see anything of what we're coming into. Okay. But you just have little hints. Paul puts the stars out as an example. Doesn't mean we're all going to look like stars. No, it's an example. There's different kinds of celestial bodies, all right? So Joseph goes to Egypt, and he makes friends. He gets sold. He doesn't go to Egypt. Doesn't decide to take a vacation to Egypt. No, it's a forced vacation. He goes into servitude. He goes in as a slave. But God is with him. And remember that through your trial, God is with you. Always God is with you. Even if you think he's not, he is. Jesus Christ himself started to wonder about it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus Christ himself, that was an extreme place he went to. But it's all relative, people. It's all relative. So don't downplay your trials. Well, at least I'm not getting crucified. Quit talking like that. That's true. But sometimes I think, well, at least if you're crucified, you're going to die soon. That's, to me, an advantage. I've been known to say, I'll repeat it here. I don't know if you've heard me say this, but You know, I've been known to say that life is too long, not too short. And I have said that my theory is that everybody should be shot in the head at age 33. Why should we live any longer than Jesus Christ? Huh? But it's quality, not quantity. It's quality of the suffering. I'd rather live 80 years than to live his 33 years. His 33 years was moita, literally moita. Okay? You don't want that. You don't want that. So, yeah, what we see is not what we're coming into. We're going to have different kinds, different glories, different brands, degrees of glory. There's Joseph's glory, and then there's Joseph's brother's glory, and there's Joseph's father's glory. It's all glory, but different glory, and they come into it at different times. Joseph comes into it first, but he suffers the most. Jesus Christ came into it first, but he suffered the most. I'm happy to come in behind Christ. Paul was the first member of the body of Christ. He suffered more than we do. Okay, he can have it. Good job, Paul. There you go. The first guy breaks the ice. The first guy blazes the trail. The first guy takes the hits, takes the arrows, makes the path easier for the rest of us, paves the way, right? Makes the path easier. It's not easy, but it's easier. These are the trailblazers. These are the pioneers. These are the lonely ones. They're out there with a machete chopping through the underbrush when nobody else is around. Yeah, years later, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people are going to come along that trail. But right now, it's them and them alone. Jesus Christ was hacking away at the evil, at Satan, at your sins. And he's all alone at the cross. He's doing it for you. You're not even born yet. But he's the trailblazer. He's got 6 hours on the cross. You want to trade anything you have with that? You want to trade your 6 years of a back problem with 6 hours on the cross? I don't think you want to do that. No, you don't want to do that. So he's suffering on the cross for you and for me. And we're not even there. We're not even born yet. When we are born, we're little babies. All we care about is mommy, daddy, food, nap, whatever. And you don't realize that you have a giant hole in your life. And you need something badly. You need God. You're aching for something that nothing can fill. You find that out as you go through life. And then you find out that Jesus Christ took care of it back before you were even born. He was all alone doing it. He was all alone doing it. And there's Joseph, all alone, sold by himself, without his brothers, without his father. His rat pack brothers told his father that he was dead. Unbelievable evil, those sons of bitches. I just can't stand those. Anyway, tell you what, I want to cuss so bad. You will not believe it. Won't believe how bad I want to cuss right now. So Joseph's all alone, and he blazes the trail. He goes there, 27 years, goes to Egypt, makes friends. God gives him some acquaintances in jail, the baker and the cup bearer, and he ends up by circumstances, propitious circumstances mixed in with pure hell, he gets to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh sees that he's a great one, and Pharaoh has a dream, of course. Pharaoh has the epic dream of all dreams, and it has to do with the lean cows, or the fat cows and the lean cows. There's only one man who can interpret the dream, and the baker, is it the cupbearer, remembers, there was this guy in jail that told me my dream. I wonder if he can tell you your dream. Who is it? Joseph. All right, bring him up. So Joseph interprets this epic dream of Pharaoh about 10 years of plenty and whatever 10 years is it? 5, 12, I forget what it is. So many years of plenty, so many years of famine. We have to save up the grain. Remember, Joseph, do I have to review this for you? Okay, I will. I'll review it for myself. You know, Pharaoh has a dream of the fat cows. That's probably where we get the saying fat cow. That guy's a real fat cow. Did we say fat cow? Is it fat cat? I thought it was a fat cow. Anyway, Joseph interprets it. The fat cows followed by the lean cows is years of plenty, followed by years of leanness, years of famine. Pharaoh says, well, what are we supposed to do? All of a sudden, now the king of Egypt is asking this former slave what to do. Joseph because God is on him, because God has never left him. And God has never left you. Never left you. Never left you. I don't care what you're going through now. I don't care what you're going through now. I mean, I do care, but in relation to God leaving you, it doesn't matter. But I can see, don't feel bad about thinking once in a while that am I the craziest person on the planet? Where is God? Because Jesus himself had that moment of doubt on the cross. Don't kick yourself too hard. And I'm sure there were times when Joseph doubted everything. But you got to keep in mind that promise. You got to keep in mind God is not slack concerning his promises. God doesn't forget his promises. So there's Joseph interprets the dream. Pharaoh says, what do we do? Well, it's easy. You just store up grain during these fat years, and then you have it for the lean years, and then you portion it out, and we'll be the capital of the world because everybody will have to come here. I'm sure that wasn't his initial thought, but Pharaoh was thinking, Pharaoh being a capitalist, thinking, wow, we could make a killing. Yeah, Pharaoh likes it, so he puts Joseph in charge of it. Pharaoh's not smart enough to figure it out. So there's your transition from slave to second in command in Egypt. You're going from the dungeon to the palace of Pharaoh. Go to YouTube, type in palace of the pharaohs or whatever. Just look at some of the luxurious accommodations. Take a look at the polished floors. Take a look at the bowls of fruit. Take a look at the people fanning other people with big ostrich feather fans. Take a look at all that stuff. Just a tiny, tiny smidgen of an indication of the posh accommodations we're going to have in the celestial realm. Posh and power. Posh and power. Big time power. Are you kidding me? Second in command. We're going to be second in command. Right there with Christ. God alone has the more command. God alone. Just like Pharaoh was the man on the throne, but he gave Joseph the administration of his kingdom, the administration of it. Joseph was the man, and what he said went. Don't be afraid of that. What you say is going to go. That's it. Your word is good as gold, as good as God. When we're changed, we're going to go from the dungeon to the throne room instantly, in a day. And what happens? Oh, the word gets out that there's a great man. By the way, the dream comes true. They stocked up all the food. Then here comes the years of famine. Only Egypt is smart enough to have food. Somebody says, or some smart guy in Egypt. The whole world, that whole area is in famine. Nobody's got any food. The weather was really bad. Drought. So there's a smart guy in Egypt who somehow had the presence of mind to save up, anticipated this some reason, where everybody has to go to this guy now. And so Joseph's brothers, the sons of bitches who sold him into slavery, now have to come to Egypt, sent there by Israel, their father, go to this wise man in Egypt. They're the only ones smart enough to have food. Go find out what the deal is. So they come back to Egypt and they appear before the great man, and there it is. The dream comes true. They literally bow down to Joseph. They don't know it's him yet. They don't know it's him. But he is a man of great power, great wealth, great glory, great skill, great administrative responsibilities. Joseph is the guy that you now have to get food from or you die. How you liking me now, Judah? How you liking me now, Issachar? Yeah, how you liking me now? How you liking me now, Dan? Laces out, Dan. Yeah. So, this is how it's going to happen with us. And you notice it's the family that comes back. It's the family. Now, we get to torture our enemies for a while because, you know, Joseph did not immediately reveal himself to his brothers. He had to teach them a lesson. So he sends them away with the food, but then he puts his cup in there, sneaks it in there, has his soldiers chase him down, arrest them, bring them back, scares the crap out of them. They're all pooping their pants over this. Believe me, he tortures them for months. Then he keeps the youngest one, Benjamin, which his dad said, whatever you do, don't take Benjamin. I'm sorry, the wise man wants Benjamin. All you read it, Genesis 37 through 50. He really vexes them. Doesn't just reveal himself right away. He vexes their souls to teach them a lesson. This is the judgment of God. We believe in the judgment of God. This is going to happen. We're going to execute it. Yes, we're going to vex our enemies for a while. There's going to be a coming to a knowledge of the truth. It's going to take some weeping, some gnashing of teeth and all that. But it's going to happen. And we're going to be the administrators of it. And then we're going to reveal ourselves. And they're going to go, oh my God, it's you. They might realize it right away. I don't know. And they're going to bow down and worship us. You have to accept it. Sorry. Don't give me any of this. I'm too humble to quiet with that. Stop it. They're going to bow down and worship you. Joseph didn't stop them, right? It's honor to whom honor is due, tribute to whom tribute is due. It's not you anyway, it's God. You know, come on. Yeah, it's God's spirit in you. It's the spirit of Christ in you. That's what beings, your former enemies will be worshiping, the wisdom of God in you. You got to let them do it. It feels good to worship somebody else. It feels good. Don't screw it up for them or for yourself. So this is a picture, and then they're restored. Yes, he says they're afraid. His brothers, when they realize it's Joseph, they go, oh God, we're shit for luck now. We're doomed. He's going to kill us because of what we did to him. But then now we see the forgiveness. Now we see the love, which was there all along. They just had to learn a lesson or two. Now comes the forgiveness and the reconciliation. That's what we're going to do. We're going to embrace our enemies and weep over them like Joseph did. He wept, had a great feast for them. Bring them in. Bring my father in. Bring your whole families. Pharaoh was like, woohoo, this is awesome. Joseph's got a family. What? Bring them all in. Bring them all in. We'll have a giant family picnic. And that's what they did. That's what we're going to have. We're going to have a giant family picnic. But we're the ones going through it first. That's the hell of the thing now. They're all thinking we're lost. We're gone. We're stupid. We're just like, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. You're going to be crawling back here. You're going to be loving me later. And they will be. They'll be loving you later. But you have to have the patience of Joseph, the patience of Christ. All those people who slapped Christ around, they're going to be coming back. Yeah. Thinking he's going to kill him, crush him. But no, he loves them. He died for them. And so there's this great restoration. Yes, that's what we have to look forward to. No, wait a minute. That's what they have to look forward to.